Turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to take off where Pastor left us last week. We'll get, it worked last week, so we'll just get Doyle to pray again and start this one. Amen, amen. Now, last week, Pastor started this series, I guess you could call it, or a season of lessons on the Christian family. And did a great lesson on biblical authority in the families. And if you weren't here last week, I'd urge you to go to the website and pull the text down on that and listen to the audio, because it's really well done, and it's the truth. It's very, very simple and yet very, very profound. So clearly last week we were shown that man was given dominion by God, and that he was to rule over his family. And in Genesis chapter 3, we've got a problem that is in most all of the families that are existing. I'd like to blame everything on all the families just at Walmart. How many of y'all been to Walmart ever? Okay, you fit. And so we got to break down in authority in today's Christian families and in today's families. Also, along with dominion and rule, also is submission. It takes both of these to make God happy and what he set up originally. And we've got this problem with authority and submission in our families today. In Genesis chapter 3, which Pastor used last week to show us this some of this problem, we had a major breakdown. We had a major breakdown in what God had given Adam and Eve as a authority and submission role. And we want to look today just at three problems that could cause a breakdown or a fail in biblical authority in the families. Does that make sense? I got all that out. Number one, the first problem, and we see it clearly in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve, the first problem is a problem with biblical facts. A problem with biblical facts. Just simply you don't know. Now, the folks right now that are Walmart, that don't belong to Bible Believers Baptist Church, they don't know. They don't know what God says about the authority and submission and the things that should be done in the Christian family. So they're without knowledge at all. But, man, walk in here toting a Bible and call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, you know. You know, or you've heard it, and if you sit here through today, you're going to hear some more of it. And so the buck stops on you. But Eve had a real problem with getting her biblical facts correct in this first deal. The devil shows up, and in verse 2, we know that she subtracts from the Word of God. Freely wasn't in there when it talked about eating. In verse 3, she adds to the Word of God, and feels like she needs to change it somehow. And so we had a real problem with that. You know, it's originally, look in Genesis 2:17. The Bible says when the Lord is talking, well, in 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." You know, in the original command from God was given to the man. The woman doesn't show back up here until she hadn't even created in a few more verses. And so she wasn't there to get those original audiographs. She wasn't there to get those original things, but Adam was there and he heard it straight from God. Now, can you imagine that they lived in a world at this point, Adam and Eve in the garden, that was perfect. It was pure. All they had to go by, all they had as instruction in their life, were the pure words straight from God. Isn't that cool? And really, all they needed was the pure words of God. And a command from God. Does that make sense? Wouldn't that be a great place to live? You're there. Because that's all you need. That's all you need is the Word of God to live the life that God wants you to live. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. We go to Colorado and try to get some elk meat every year. And I've got a gun that is clearly, I got witnesses that is clearly shot in up to 500 yards. I have no doubt. At 500 yards, in fact, Tony and I went out and shot it in September, October or something, and got targets to prove that thing is on at 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. Little hash marks. If the guide calls out that thing is at 400 yards, you just put it on 400 yards, and the scope is right. And we check it before we go. But I have the tendency, I always have the tendency to think, that bullet may drop more. It just may drop more. I better aim a little bit higher. And it's a tendency, if you're a hunter, you know that feeling that I just, you know, you don't want to. You're just going to have to aim a little bit higher. And I do. And you know where I hit? A little higher. And you know why the reason? Because I had all I needed. I had a scope that was sighted in for that range, and all I needed to do was take it, put it on the deal, and it's a kill shot. My friends, you've got the Word of God. And you don't need to add anything else to it or change it. But Adam and Eve had a problem with the facts, with biblical facts. And especially the problem didn't even show up until the devil showed up and started changing, questioning, altering the Word of God. Well, you know, if they lived in a perfectly sinless, pure, all their instruction came straight from God, they had no other influences, and the devil shows up and just starts changing the deal that easily, they get tripped up. What about us? What about us? The devil is in your TV, it's in your radio, he's in here today, and we have every influence and every distortion that is known to man against us as a Christian family. You have children that you send to school, whether you send them to their room for homeschooling or whether you send them to a public school, there's influences, and they have their hands on them. And so if we have those kind of influences way more than Adam and Eve had, then certainly we should be more invested and more of a desire to make sure that we've got our biblical facts right. Okay? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, when God gave Adam that one command, it was only one, thou shalt not eat. And he gave him a circumstance that goes with it, thou shalt surely die, in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. He gave him that one command. Adam had a responsibility. God had put a responsibility in his lap for that command. He invented the wife, Eve, the helpmeet, later. And we don't know whether, you know, I don't know whether later God whispered in her ear and told her the same command. I don't know whether Adam, you know, it clearly said in Genesis chapter 3, we learned last week that when she ate the fruit, her husband was with her, there with her. Well, how long was he there? Did he actually watch the serpent beguile her? Did he watch all this stuff go on and not say a thing about it? I don't know. I don't know. But we have a problem here with biblical facts, because if God gave him that command and he either mistranslated it to her, or she decided not to be submissive and she knew the rule and she changed her own mind, we'll never know. Well, we will. We when you get up there, find two people without belly buttons, and we'll ask them. Okay? But God makes it real clear to us, as application to us today, about this problem with biblical facts. Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and look at this, and your Sunday school teacher shall teach them diligently to your children, or your pastor shall come to your house and teach them individually to you. Now, it says here, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Men, God has given us dominion and given us rule. And this is a command from God to each one of us that we have this responsibility. He's calling right now. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. No, that we have a responsibility to teach. We have a responsibility to teach. Now you say, well, wow, I don't know if I can do that. Well, the fact of the matter is God has commanded us to do that. You've got an ample availability of things, of ways to learn Bible. And truly, this lesson is not rocket science. The stuff that we're going to talk about, authority and submission, is no deep, dark secrets in the Bible. You don't have to dig them out of Revelation. These are written just clear as day that we ought to be teaching. Turn, you're in Deuteronomy, back up to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's look in, let me look at my notes, verse 9. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart in the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. We're supposed to teach our children. And before I get, and I forget to say it, and the women here just shut me out, and the children here just shut me out, because I'm showing them the Bible, the responsibility, the rule and dominion that a man is supposed to have over his household. Like I said, with his rule and dominion comes submission. It's a two-part deal, and everybody in the Christian family has a responsibility to take care of their part of it. But it's clearly here that we ourselves are supposed to do this teaching. Now, is it wrong to bring your kids to Sunday school? No, it's the best thing you can possibly do. It's the best thing you do is get your kids and your wife and your family in this church every time they open it. And if you think they're going to open it, just come on down. We'll unlock it for you, okay? Or you want to come by and visit during the week. Somebody's here. We'd be glad to do that. Turn to 2 Timothy. We're talking about Eve and Adam and Eve both had a problem with biblical facts. I don't know whether Adam got the facts wrong when he taught Eve. I don't know whether Eve got the facts wrong. But somebody got the facts wrong, and it got them in trouble. And so there's some responsibility that we have as men in a Christian family to teach. Men, do you know what God says? Does your wife know what God says? Do your children know what God says? Just start there. You can fill in the blank about whatever the subject or the topic or the sin or whatever it is, but that's where you need to start. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul is writing Timothy, a young preacher man. And in verse 14, we'll pick it up there. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy was blessed. He grew up in a Christian or a God-fearing or God-believing family, and he had been immersed in the Scriptures, which he didn't have a King James Bible back then. He had copies of the original Scriptures, but he had been immersed in that from a child, so he had a very good opportunity to learn. The more that you can get your children immersed in God's words, whether it be here or especially at home, under your own tutelage, is a good thing. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We've got a responsibility, men, to teach, parents to teach. We've got a responsibility for men, women, and children to learn. We've all got that responsibility. You're in 2 Timothy, back up to 2:15. You know the verse. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I imagine Adam and Eve were ashamed after they messed up, not knowing, not having a problem with the biblical facts that they did. So the first point is having Adam and Eve got in trouble in the garden. They had one command. They had it straight from God. They didn't have to do anything else but follow that one command. And there was a breakdown in that Christian family right off the bat that caused a huge problem that we're living with today. Okay? So that Bible, you can't know enough of it. Yeah, you're not going to reach a point where you've read it, you can put it on the shelf and put it away and say, I got that. That Bible's a living book. That word knows you. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I know that for a fact. And I just pray that you get, if nothing else out of this whole lesson, you'll get the desire that I have and that God has, I know, that you learn and know and are able to teach his words, at least to your wife and kids, so that you can get through this world. Point number two, go back to Genesis chapter 3. Or Genesis chapter 2. The first reason that we fail at biblical authority in families is because we have a problem with the biblical facts. The second reason is we have a problem with godly fear. We have a problem with godly fear. In Genesis 2:17, we read it a minute ago. I want to read it again. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's pretty simple. Everybody understand that in here today? Think about Adam and Eve back then. Had they ever seen anybody, thou shalt surely die? No. I mean, to them, this is me now. I look at that and I think, well, they look at that thou shalt surely die as like a concept. You know, I believe it's true because God said it. Okay. But I don't completely understand all that pertains to that. I know it couldn't be good. Right? That's enough. You could assume that. We, my friends, we consider the judgment seat of Christ as a concept. We know God said it. We're going to look at a couple of verses. And we know it. Parts of it is probably not going to be very good. But you know what? It's just a concept because it's so far down the line that I doubt I'm going to suppose something right now. And if I'm wrong, afterwards, like you always do, you can come up here and attack me after I get out from the pulpit. Okay? So I'll wait for you. I doubt seriously if the first thought of anybody in this room when they got up this morning was, oh my, the judgment seat of Christ. No. No, it was, oh my, is the coffee ready? You know, it's those kind of things. No, that is so far down the line. You see there's godly fear where that, truly, I believe if they had the fear, if God said, don't do that, and if you do it, this is going to happen, that they should have had enough godly fear just right there to say, that's good with me. Okay? And you're shaking your heads, and we ought to be the same way. You know, it's that old, you know, God said it, and I believe it, so it must be so. No, you don't have to believe it. If God said it, it is so. And so there's a godly fear that's available to you right now. I mean, right now, in every situation, it's always available to you right then. Now, the circumstances, they may be put down the line away. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I believe. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see, I've said it before, and I know it to be true in my life. If God bopped me in the head every time I just began to get out of line, how often would I get out of line? But the problem is, he doesn't. He has more mercy than I deserve, Lord. Or, you know, it's just he allows things in his own ways, and that's okay. But you have Adam and Eve had opportunity here. They had the opportunity to do the will of God and have the fear of God cause that right then. Then somewhere between there and for us, we have a fear of God every minute, which we can choose to have that. Over here, we've got the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment. In between here, you got consequences for this sin that you may just get to pay for here on earth. And so we men, this is what we do. We make a conscious decision because we're not, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So sometimes, and I know none of y'all do it, but sometimes in my life, I don't think about the fear of God. I think about the consequences, and I weigh the consequences, and it seems like I'd rather do it and just take my chances, and I do. I know none of y'all have ever done that. And it's okay. I'm going to tell you, I've done it, and I wouldn't suggest it. I can also tell you this, that I've lived long enough, and I've lost enough hair, and God's stricken me with the botch of Egypt for the last 90 days. And so I can understand a complete fear of God in the fact that there are things in my life that I am not going to come near. And there's only one reason. It's because of the fear of God. And it would have been great if Adam and Eve would have not even went near the stinking tree because God said, you're not going to eat of that tree anyway. And they go, well, we got no reason to even be over here. Couldn't we do that with some of the sin in our life? I know when I was trying to lose weight, going to a convenience store was something I shouldn't be doing. Okay? And so I just stayed away from it. Okay? Same thing, we can go on with that. But you get the picture. Let me show you something. Let me show you something about this judgment seat of Christ because it is real, my friends. Turn to Romans 14. Adam and Eve had a problem with biblical facts. They had a problem with godly fear. And I believe a lot of our authority and submission in our families is we know the facts, Bible believers, but we don't have a fear of God. We don't have a fear of God. Look at this judgment seat of Christ in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Well, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall, how many? All stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess unto God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Boy, that himself is a big deal. There's not going to be anything, the devil made me do it or my wife made me do it. No. You're going to give an account of yourself to God. This is a real deal. Turn to one more verse on that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And just, I'm going to give you a little precursor so we don't have to come back here for my next point. I want to start in verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith and not sight. This is in the context of the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 8, we are confident, I say then, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. The first part of the next verse is always fun. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There are going to be parts of the judgment seat of Christ that are not going to be fun. And I say that because I know it. I say it because I believe it, and I say it because you have a chance that it doesn't have to be. Isn't that cool? You've got a chance to have a godly fear right now and live your life that way, Christian family, Christian father, Christian mother, Christian children. You've got that opportunity. But this godly fear has, this fear thing has two parts. And this one is I believe that most of us in this room have a godly fear. I know that each one of us could probably do better. But the next one is the problem that is really plaguing the families of today. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Yeah, Adam and Eve had a real problem with a godly fear. I believe Adam had this problem too. Proverbs 29, let's look in verse 25. The Bible says, "The fear of the wife bringeth a snare." The fear of the children bringeth a snare. The fear of the in-laws bringeth a snare. No, he just, you know, Solomon was smarter than me. He wrote the fear of man. It's all the same. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, the biggest problem with the godly fear part of this lesson and the part of what Adam and Eve had is that we're afraid to address the problem. You can all shake your head. We're afraid to address the problem. God has given you men dominion and rule over your family. Women and children, you have been given the responsibility to be in subjection. That's a nice way of saying you've been given you the responsibility to be ruled over. That's mean. No, that's Bible. It is. And men, I know, I am one, that many times it's a lot easier not to address the problem. Do you know the phrase, pick your fights? Yeah, I'm getting a lot of grins out of this one side of their face, the side that's away from their wife. That's the side of the face I'm getting the grin out of. Yeah, it's pick your fights. You know, I've heard this when talking to another man about this kind of issue at home, whether there's an authority problem or there's a submission problem, and the man will say this, "Well, you know, it's okay with me." He'll say, "It's okay with me. You know, as long as I can go hunting or she lets me have a motorcycle, I don't care." I've heard that, okay? And y'all are acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I got a feeling that Adam was there, and he said, "You know what? It's okay with me." You know why I got the feeling? Turn to, where's my verse? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're afraid to address the problem. We got the fear of man, or the fear of your wife or kids or in-laws, or you fill in the blank. We're just afraid to address the problem. I believe Adam was too. Look in 1 Timothy 2, verse 13. It says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." Was Adam tricked or fooled when he was there? No, sir. He made a conscious decision to let that happen. Okay? Did he have trouble with the biblical facts? I don't know, but he didn't stand up when the devil showed up and said, "No, no, ma'am. God said no, and so we're not doing it." Boy, he would have no problem with the Bible and no problem with the fear of Eve. He would have showed a fear of God in that. You see what I'm saying? But I'm not throwing a bunch of blame at you unduly, turn to Isaiah chapter 3. Well, I'm going to take I out of it. All this is Bible. So put me out. You got a problem with it, take it up with God. Isaiah chapter 3 shows us that this problem that's in the family of authority and submission and the breakdown and all of that is basically a sign of the times. Look in verse 12. We'll just read that. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. That's today. We ought to as Christian men, as Christian women, as Christian children, we ought to have enough of the fear of God that we want to do what He says simply because that's what He said. Okay? And I believe that we, if you want to do well or you, at the judgment seat of Christ, if you want to put a smile on God's face, if you want to be pleasing in God's sight, I believe you got a necessity to do those things. Don't you agree? It makes sense. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is discussing some things in the ministry, but we can glean something here that I believe will help each one of us. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, he says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Look at this. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You know, God called Paul, and he did it pretty dramatically on the road there, struck him with blindness. I mean, he got the idea. And that day, he got him a good fear of God. And God told him to go preach. And you know what he does? He went out and preached. And he says here, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." What do you think that's a sign of? That's a sign of a fear of God. I believe, men, that we're called by the authority of this book, we're called to rule and have dominion over our household. Women and children, you are called to be in submission to that. And when you're not, I believe it's a necessity. I really do. I believe it's a necessity. But here's the thing. It's not too late to start. Okay, I knew as soon as I did the first part of this, some of you just shut down because, well, I'm past that deal. Okay, I've already done every mistake there is. It's over with. I still have my motorcycle, and she lets me go hunting and fishing. And so I'm good with that. It's fine. And don't be getting up there and stirring up my pie. Okay? Let me tell you something. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change His mind yet. And you shouldn't change your mind yet about doing what God says. It is not too late to start today, right now, right immediately after this service. Start today trying to see what you can do by getting with your family and God and find out how y'all can start doing it His way. He will bless that. He will bless that. Point number three, go back to Genesis chapter 3. I take you back there and then I don't let you look at anything. Genesis chapter 3, we've already covered 2 points. They had a problem with biblical facts, and it got them in trouble. And I believe men and women, we can do the same thing if we don't take due diligence to try to get as much in us, learned as we can, and teach as much as we can to our families. Number two, a problem with godly fear. First part is just fearing God, and the second part is not fearing man. Here's the third part. It's a problem with walking in faith. A problem with walking in faith. There was a breakdown here because they didn't believe. By their actions, they proved that they didn't believe what God said. God said, "Don't eat that." They ate it. You know, when we disobey, in verse 6, look in verse 6. You can't misread this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Uh-oh, there it is. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Case is closed. That, my friend, is the definition of disobedience. Okay? And disobedience is another, it is the definition of no faith. If God says do something and we choose not to do it, we are slapping God in the face and saying, no, I know better, or no, I want to do it my way. Have you ever had a little child that knows just enough about how to tie their shoes that they go, me do it, me do it. And they walk off and trip because their feet, their shoes aren't tied. And God's trying to tell you, no, me do it my way and it'll work. And we sit around going, me do it, me do it.
Yeah. Y'all a hard crowd.
Man. No, the disobedience, if you are walking in faith, you're walking in obedience. It's simple, very simple. And we read the verse where we walk by faith and not by sight. Did you see what verse 6 said? It starts out, and when the woman saw, was she walking by faith? No, she was doing just like all of us do. She was walking about those three temptations that's mentioned in James. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She hit all three of them here. She had the lust of the flesh when she saw that the tree was good for food. She had the lust of the eyes when it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, that hit her pride button. And we all fall into those three categories. But when you do that, you are not walking by faith. Let me repeat, I'm going to repeat, just hammer this thing. God said, men in this room, God said that you have dominion and you are to rule your house. If you are not doing that, you're in disobedience. If you're not doing that, you're not walking in faith. You're not believing that God's way is the right way. It's simple. It's simple. In Judges, the last verse in Judges, in Judges 21:25, it says there was no king in the land, and therefore the I'm chopping it up. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Okay, boy, does that fit? Did she do what was right in her own eyes? Sure. This stuff is from the beginning, and we're not exempt to it, and we all do it. There's a point. I hope it's today. But there's a point where men, we have to decide that I want to do this God's way. John 14:6, I am the way. Is there a second way or a paragraph? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It doesn't take much to convince y'all that he is the life. Everyone here is saved and believes and loves that. But we have a problem of failure here in our faith when we don't believe he is the way and he is the truth. And you're still back on that park where you think I'm going to sit down with my wife and we're going to start doing this right? Yeah, come on back with me. Come on back with me. We can make this work. If walking by faith is walking in obedience, and when I say obedience, it almost needs to be total, because partial obedience is disobedience, right? Turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 3, we're just going to hurry here. I'm running down. You know the story. If not, read 1 Samuel 15. But verse 3 says, now go and smite the Amalekites and utterly destroy all that they have. Is there any doubt what that means? Any doubt what all means? Okay. Did he do that? No. In verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? He didn't do everything. He did some of it. He didn't do everything. Look in verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agai, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." He's convinced that he's done it all. Right? Look in verse 22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being a king." He lost it that day. And he lost it because he had partial obedience, which in God's eyes is disobedience. Disobedience. You see up there where it said, verse 21, "But the people took of the spoil." Let's see. Verse 22, and Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and as in obeying the Lord?" Listen to me. I've fallen for this before myself, so I'm not getting anybody. You can put on a show that you have rule and dominion over your family. And your wife can put on a show that she's in submission. And you can carry your Bibles and you can come to church. And you can sit in your seats and you can be friendly to people. And your kids can go to Sunday school and you can tithe. And you can even give to missions. And you can be in disobedience to God. Just like Saul was. He thought he did it all. And he didn't. He didn't. This stuff is real. It's not walking in faith. I want to show you one more verse that I read when I was putting this together, and now it makes a whole different bit of sense to me. I hope it does to you. Turn to Luke chapter 6. And because of time, we're going to review right now while you're turning there. We get three problems: men, women, children. We have a problem with biblical facts. You know what? Every one of you is in Sunday school, praise the Lord. You got an open Bible, praise the Lord. Keep doing that. Do it at home. If you need to be discipled, we've got Pastor I and Tony. We'd love to help you learn whatever more you want to learn about the Bible. Point number two, a problem of godly fear. That's something between you and God, and until you got it, I can't make you have it. And I can tell you what the Bible says about this fearing your wife instead of God thing. I don't think it makes him happy at all. And now we're talking about problem walking in faith. And, look, you know, when you're in disobedience, you're telling God, "I don't believe what you said. I don't believe what you said." Look in, let me get to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, look in verse 46. Now, in my King James Bible, there's a paragraph mark there. You see that? Where it starts a paragraph. And it doesn't end to the end of the chapter. So we're going to read those verses. Verse 46, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Does that hit the point? What the Lord says about obedience and walking in faith. But in that context is a story that we're familiar with. Verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 49, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation, and built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and look at this, and the ruin of that house was great." I believe God's trying to tell every one of us in here right now that he expects there to be an authority. He set it up. There's supposed to be dominion and rule in a Christian family. There's supposed to be submission, and that's God's way of doing it. And he's pretty much telling you here that if you don't do that, you're building your house on the wrong foundation, and you know what's going to happen? The ruin of that house is going to be great. And so I believe there's a warning in this. I knew this wouldn't be a yay, Randy, amen, hippity-doo-da-day kind of a lesson, but it's one that we all need. And so that's why Pastor made me do it, so you can like him and not like me. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Father, we thank you for your book. Lord, Wow, we've got the written words of God. Adam and Eve didn't even have that. If they had heard those directions wrong, they couldn't even went back to a written copy and tried to figure out what you did say. Lord, we've got them sitting in our lap. And I pray that each one of us will get in that book, will believe what's there, will get our biblical facts right, Lord. We'll finally wake up and understand this fear of God. And then, Lord, I pray that every one of us start walking in faith, which means we're going to do what you told us to do. I pray you'd help each one of us do that. In Jesus' name, amen.